Right now, we are joined with Pat. This is the Pat and Pat Show, actually. Pat with the Weather National Weather Service here in the AWC, the Aviation Weather Center. Thank you.
That's right.
I just noticed that they put a disclaimer on your forecast.
You know, it's maybe I just didn't do that well last year or something. That had to be what it was.
Well,
you know?
Didn't they blame you for slosh gosh last year?
Slosh gosh was probably maybe my fault. I don't know. Well, that's up in the air. We'll find out.
Well, we're definitely off to a drier start this year.
We are. We are off to a drier start, and that's definitely needed comparison to what we experienced last year. Last year, you know, we started off and it was wet.
It was wet. We didn't have any planes out here in the grass. The RVs were having to park in town at Walmart and Kmart and all that stuff. So
yeah, exactly. They had to pull them out of the dirt too and out of the mud with the tractors last year continuously. So,
but this week is looking really good.
You know, I'm excited for this week. It's looking pretty well. You know, with today and tomorrow, I think we're going to be almost completely clear of some storms, but we'll keep an eye for Tuesday and Wednesday, you know, with a little bit of a chance. But I'm hoping there's not going to be much severe around here. I'm feeling like its majority is going to be more towards Minnesota and down towards the south of Iowa. It's my thought, at least. I don't know. We'll hope and pray, I guess.
Sounds good.
Definitely. You know, with you know, being a completely new year, as I noticed on the National Weather Service pages and different places like that, they are finally part of the social media groups.
Yes, you can find us on Facebook now. We haven't started tweeting on Twitter yet, but we're on Facebook. The Aviation Weather Center has just got a page up about 2 weeks ago. I think we've almost got 100 friends now. But we're working on getting some friends here at Oshkosh. We've been handing out cards about where to find us on Facebook, so we'll get our friends to find out where we are and start interacting. But we'll be posting some pictures and stories from Oshkosh and other things that have been going on at the Aviation Weather Center and in the world of aviation weather.
Well, that's cool. I mean, I've yet to be to that website yet, but you'll have to friend me. We'll have to.
Only if you friend us first, Pat.
Okay, I guess. I'll look you up. I'll Facebook you.
Well, you know, it's a good way to communicate. We've got, on a personal level, everyone knows how Facebook works. But for us, reaching our customers, you know, there's going to be 500,000 people that come through Oshkosh, most of them pilots. But they don't always plug into our data streams. They may go visit our website. So if we're changing forecast or adding new information or new ways to find information, how to find out about that, how they can use that is very difficult. But if they've got something like Facebook that is going to pop up and tell them, hey, there's something new at the Aviation Weather Center that could help you out, go to the website and look at it or contact so-and-so and get some information.
Yeah, I know a lot of the local weather service centers also do a lot of multimedia weather briefings. And I've watched a few of those. It's actually pretty interesting. You get one of the weather guys of the day that doing the forecast discussion, and they, instead of, you know, reading the jargon sometimes that's on the weather discussion, they actually do a weather briefing almost with a multimedia.
And that's, you know, the Weather Service is moving towards being more impact-based and working with, like, the emergency management and law enforcement when there's something that's hazardous or threatening to life and property, to be able to just, instead of just putting out a product and pushing that out and being done with it, to actually talk to the people that are going to respond, to the emergency managers, and help them understand where the worst of it's going to be, and maybe get resources in, you know, ahead of the storm. If you look at what they do, like, during winter storms, we can't really think of that now. It's such a beautiful summer day. But if they know there's going to be an ice storm that's going to take down a lot of power lines, they'll work with power companies and get trucks and repair trucks out, you know, well in advance so that they're positioned to move in and fix that. And we're trying to do the same thing with aviation. We call it kind of getting ahead of the curve, you know, and we're working closely with the FAA and doing that kind of those briefings and getting away so much from typing weather forecast or drawing maps to talking to people about what this forecast means to them and how they can start to prepare and respond to it.
Yes, I mean, even speaking of weather issues, it seems to be that this year's been a little bit more active than other years. I mean, I guess we kind of say that a lot, but this year I think has been a little bit more interesting in comparison to, especially now with some places, you know, with the extreme heat warnings in down in Illinois, I believe. and towards Nebraska area.
Very interesting. And it started right at the beginning of the year. Lots of heavy snow in the Rockies. There's still parts up in Montana that have 16 feet of snow piled up there, and that's still slowly melting and filling up the Missouri and Mississippi rivers that are flooding from Montana all the way down to the Gulf Coast. And that water has no place to go. Then we get into extreme heat, tornadoes in the springtime. This is probably one of the worst tornado years in a very long time.
Yeah, I think actually in April, I remember finding a couple of facts out about it, and I believe it was in the month of April, we had, I think it was, I want to say about 400% more tornadoes. It was I think an average in April, I feel, is throughout the United States was like 1,200 or 1,300. We had over like 6,000 in the month of April.
And what's interesting, too, is usually when an active tornado season like that starts off early in April and May, then it kind of gets kind of quiet, and it's been here quiet the last month or so. We've not seen as many. So over the course of a year, we'll probably return to near normal for the year. But when they all come at once or in a short term, it really kind of overwhelms everyone.
Yeah, that's very true. I can definitely see that. And, from forecasts ahead of time, I think, from what I've seen with the climate stuff, you're right. It does seem to be a little bit more mellow and towards the warmer side around here lately. But
there's a lot of things that are going on, too. You can even look at the big picture with the solar cycles. We've been in a solar minimum for the last 10 years and actually overdue for coming out of that. So we should be going into the next several years of very active solar activity, which is actually more energy coming out of the sun. Really isn't a global warming type thing, as it is more just more energy that's being bombarded to the Earth's surface and the atmosphere to make it a little bit more active. And the Earth, really, when that happens, is really just trying to balance out the hot and the cold. And that's where we get more active storms, where there's more of a contrast between the hot and the cold. So we could probably see a couple more years like this, and then we'll probably go back to the way we were, the last 3 or 4 years.
Now, you may know better than I do, but with, active solar cycles and things like that, does that affect aviation much, or?
It sure does, for a couple reasons. GPS is getting huge in cockpits, and the FAA is actually wanting to move through their next-gen program into a GPS-based traffic control system. When there's solar flares, that disrupts the satellites and the communications, even radio frequencies. And also we're seeing airlines more increasingly taking polar routes to other parts of the other parts of the world. And that exposes, one, people to radiation because there's less atmosphere over the poles. It also threatens or gives them more sensitivity to these solar flares in the communications aspect, because they have to use very high frequency or ultra high frequencies to communicate. And you don't want an aircraft to lose contact in situations like that, or any situation, actually, in a long distance flight.
Yeah, I can definitely see that happening. Speaking of polar traffic patterns and things like that, I looked at the Weather Service website today, and I told you this earlier, that they said that we're supposed to have a more active hurricane season. That doesn't sound too fun, and not really pertaining to Wisconsin too much, but
generally at Oshkosh, we don't start worrying about the hurricanes until they hit Kentucky. So I think we're pretty safe here. But yeah, the forecast is for a more active hurricane season in the Atlantic. That doesn't necessarily mean more hurricanes hitting the U.S. or making landfall. Just within the Atlantic Ocean and the Caribbean and Gulf of Mexico, they'll be a lot more active than normal. I think they're saying 12 to 16 storms total, and about 6 to 10 of those possibly being named, and three or four of them maybe even being, the higher categories. So of that, maybe one or two of them could even make landfall. So certainly we've got the Hurricane Center down in Miami keeping an eye on that, and when they hit Kentucky, we'll start worrying about them up here in Oshkosh.
Now, is it just you guys are over in the FAA Center for the AWC? Is there any other weather groups hanging out in the federal building at all?
Got all kinds of, in the federal pavilion, there's all kinds of federal agencies that have some tie-in with aviation. We've got the Park Service there. We have Border Protection that fly a lot of aircraft. Very interesting place. Come in and talk to all those folks.
Does it become a little competitive on getting extra, see which group can get the most people in?
Oh, sure. We've got competitions. We've got the right flyer simulator in there, and we have competitions amongst ourselves to see who can go the longest flight and who does the shortest flight. And unfortunately, the NOAA meteorologists have done the shortest flight records the last couple of years. So
we
need to step up to the plate here and get going.
I guess you're just not used to the whole joystick action, you know, flying an airplane.
Well, the simulator setup, the right flyer that the Park Service has here, you actually fly it the way the Wright brothers flew their original plane.
Really?
So you have to lay on your stomach, and you warp the wings by adjusting your hips and shifting your weight on the aircraft, and you've only got one little throttle for gas. So it's a challenge.
Well, that's good to hear that, maybe you guys will pick up the game a little bit, but it's nice to know that everyone's getting along nice in the Federal Pavilion. And where that is located?
Just a few yards here from the radio station, right off the flight line.
Right off the flight line, next to actually the Brown Arch is a very good point to find it.